Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Zingerman's Deli, a super popular hangout in Ann Arbor, Michigan, was such a success that the owners have grown the business model to include 10 trendy food venues in and around Ann Arbor, each with a distinctive culinary approach. The Zingerman's model has been such a hit that it was not surprising to the locals when Inc. magazine proclaimed Zingerman's to be the coolest small business in America back in 2003. For a taste of Zingerman's, come along and join associate producer and correspondent Susie Rodriguez reporting from Zingerman's Roadhouse, where she visits with legendary and locally revered chef Alex Young.
The aim of Chef Alex Young at Zingerman's Roadhouse is summed up by a neon sign above the entrance that claims, "Really good American food." It really is good. So good, in fact, that Chef Young won the 2011 James Beard Foundation Award for Best Chef in the Great Lakes. And his macaroni and cheese was Alton Brown's pick for Best Comfort Food in America on his Food Network show, Best Of. At Zingerman's Roadhouse, the macaroni and cheese menu section offers half a dozen or more choices at dinner, starting with Roadhouse mac and cheese made with bechamel and lots of cabot cheddar caramelized with imported Martelli pasta. Amish free-range chicken forms the basis of the buttermilk fried chicken. The barbecue pork plate is made from local hogs pit-roasted for 14 hours and served with a choice of four different barbecue sauces that reflect different regional traditions. My favorite, Eastern North Carolina vinegar barbecue sauce. I asked Chef Young to explain the secret of his award-winning cuisine.
It's the ingredients. The starting place is finding the best examples of real honestly produced food, whether that's a homegrown vegetable or a grain or a corn varietal or a cheese or yogurt or any one of the hundreds of origins of wild king salmon or the oyster, beautiful oyster beds around the coasts of this country. I mean, there's such varied cuisine. And then thinking about the cultures that celebrate each of those foods and hundreds more geographically, where they came from, where they landed in this country, the cooking style applications to those ingredients, really the infinite number of possibilities, and I just find that super interesting.
I find it fascinating that you pay so much attention to the history and the origin of not just the ingredients, but the background of the different cuisines that have come to America. It's a massive undertaking. How have you gone about learning all of this while being a chef?
Well, we start with a few items that are super important to us and celebrating them and learning how to cook with them. Then when we feel we've got those to a place that we're happy with, then we feel we're capable of looking closer at something else. There's two aspects that interest me a great deal. One is the people, and then one is agricultural practices in this country and why they've shifted over the centuries. And really, distilling it to the people, I think that the study of people and food ways is really paying homage or giving value to where the people come from, because food is one of the most important things to any group of people. The last thing they want to give up is the foods that they feel are important. And that is, I think, if more people gave credit to different types of people and valuing the differences, is that we would appreciate each other more.
Chef Young maintains a deep interest in the way America's regional food has been influenced by the cuisines of immigrant groups. Can you give me an example of an ethnic group that has come to Michigan and how their food has been adopted into regional cuisine?
Well, there's lots of various immigrations, or several various immigrations to Michigan. And before the abolishment of slavery, it was the German farmers that came here and beer makers. Then, of course, when slavery was ending, Michigan was one of arguably the two most desirable destinations for freed blacks in this country. One was Philadelphia, two was Michigan. Very ultimate destination would have been Canada, where slavery never existed. But Michigan has a very rich history of the Underground Railroad depositories, and so we had a lot of African immigrants coming mostly from Alabama or Mississippi. So there's a really rich African-American food history, which is subsequent to the areas in which they first came from in this country, being enslaved in Mississippi. The Industrial Revolution provided a major immigration to Michigan as well. And whether those had been slaves at one point or another, or white people from various parts of the country. During World War II and I, it was big because the majority of the able men had left, and so there was lots of women and families migrating from places like Kentucky, giving Ypsilanti and other areas of our region a rich history of yet new foodways which would be injected to the existing foodways.
Alton Brown called your macaroni and cheese the best macaroni and cheese in America.
The title was America's Best Comfort Food, but it was indeed our macaroni and cheese, yeah.
And I know you use an Italian pasta for that. Could you tell me the name of that pasta?
The pasta we use is Martelli from Italy, and it's made with American semolina wheat, oddly enough. But some of the finest semolina wheat does in fact come from the Golden Triangle up near Wyoming in this country. And it's a very traditional recipe in that they haven't altered it for several generations. And it has a remarkable flavor and texture that is, in my opinion, incomparable, and especially when used for macaroni and cheese.
Another thing you have said that I actually admired a lot was in looking at providers, it's not only the quality of the food, but you look at how they treat their workers. Are they dealing in a sustainable way with the environment? That's very important to you.
Yeah, well, we use two criteria for selecting foods. The first part of that criteria is that food needs to be full-flavored. And in order to be full-flavored, it needs to have some level of complexity. In order for it to have complexity, it needs to have little to no additives. And the second part is that foods are traditionally made. Now, of course, dealing with many producers and companies that grow, produce, or import foods, if they don't treat their workers well, they generally don't have a sustainable product. And so when we think about like fair trade coffee, for example, or chocolates, they will never be first class or the best in market for more than a minute unless they treat their people okay. So I don't consider those labels as much as when you work with people, you know whether the company is run well or not. But it's a major decision maker for us is where are they growing and how are they growing and how are people treated. It's a big part of our guiding principles to try to ensure that we have a good place to work for the people that work here. And we choose purveyors in part with that in mind because we like to work with people that we like.
You grow more than 40 varieties of heirloom tomatoes in the summer. And I love tomatoes. Everybody loves tomatoes. But what is it about the tomato that makes you want to grow 40 varieties?
Well, I started growing tomatoes about 10, 11 years ago now as a chef, and growing what I call a tomato, as opposed to one that tastes like cardboard, is a tomato, being of English origin, that's a joke really, but a homegrown tomato is just so wonderful because there are many, many varieties. When you talk about heirlooms and open pollinated varieties, that they all have their own personality, and when you have within species genetic variation, phenotypic variation, you get within a striped German or an Aunt Ruby's giant German green or a Tuscan oxheart or whatever, all these different varieties, there's within species difference. And I think of them to some extent like my children and appreciate their differences. One's all knobbly and one's not. One has green shoulders and one does not. And I think that that's similar to appreciating people's different food, is appreciating the differences amongst something that is organic and naturally occurring. I just like to appreciate different qualities and characteristics of people and foods, and then learning the physiological properties of something and how to work with it and how to create food or just honor it in its raw state.
That's a perfect answer. You mentioned four signature dishes. I believe they were crab cakes, macaroni and cheese.
Chicken and ribs.
How do you think that typifies people's love of American food?
Well, those four particular dishes really come from different regions of the country, and so like we don't serve anything here that you can't buy in a box from a food supplier, but all the foods that we serve here are hand-selected ingredients and prepared from scratch. If you think about the fried chicken, then that's honoring a particular region of Tennessee, just east of Memphis. In Mason, Tennessee, but that is a particular region with folks that make food in a particular style there, and I just happen to think it's the best fried chicken in the world, and so we do our best to emulate it. When you think about the ribs, for example, that's a Memphis-style rib, which is very different than the Eastern North Carolina whole hog that we cook. And those, when I tell the stories of how those recipes, where they came from, and how we handle them, it is the very beginning of the tale of the American foodways, which we work so hard to study and learn from.
I loved having those three different sauces to eat on the barbecue. I'd never had that experience before, and each mouthful was completely different than the one before, based on what sauce I was using. That's an amazing experience.
Well, thank you. Those are three examples of the main bodies of type of barbecue in this country. And then the fourth one being the green tomato is something that I made up in a southwestern style to use up some of our wonderful heirloom tomatoes at the end of the season. But they are, in fact, three different, very different styles of barbecue from three very different parts of the country. And again, that honors different origins and heritages of people that inhabit and have built this great country.
Chef Alex Young, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you. Before we go, if people want to learn more about you and Zingerman's Roadhouse, where should they go?
Well, certainly zingermansroadhouse.com, all lowercase, all connected, is a great place to start. You can go to zingermans.com, and there'll be links to the Roadhouse as well.
Thank you very much. I'm Susie Rodriguez reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
To learn more about Ann Arbor, Michigan and its incredible diverse culinary scene, log on to visitannarbor.org.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,